Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
All right, let's talk about running a business. We all know it can be risky and, well, sometimes it could ultimately end in failure. And of course, we had COVID-19, or we have COVID-19, and that's made running a business an even bigger risk.
Yeah, and the challenges with this pandemic mean that it has abruptly disrupted every aspect of business operations. So it leaves companies scrambling to craft effective strategic responses. And in the wake of the crisis, it seems as though we've been hit with an overabundance of information and news focused on doom and gloom.
Now, in order for businesses to remain effective and competitive during the pandemic, the focus must be shifted away from fear and towards being proactive. And now that we're in a new year, most businesses, well, they're still finding it hard to survive.
So I like this, being proactive and shifting away from fear. Many people hoping that getting back on track in 2021, all the unknowns make planning for this year a bit of a challenge still.
Well, we're going to talk about how businesses can put themselves back on track this year and where they can start and how nimble they have to be. We have on the line Adam Witty, founder and CEO of Advantage Forbes Books. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us. We are quite curious about how you launched your company under the name Advantage Media Group in your spare bedroom some 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. I was a young man with a dream, and I pursued that dream. And today it's an international company serving thousands of customers all around the globe. Just goes to show that if you have a dream and you put the work behind it, you can make it a reality. And, you know, serving entrepreneurs and helping business owners is truly one of the great privileges that I've had in my life.
You know what they say, Adam, you're only as young as you feel. So I hope you still feel like a young man who's running this business. Tell us what it was like starting out Advantage and, you know, what is it that you do?
Well, so our business, Advantage and Forbes Books, and our business partner is Forbes Media, Forbes Magazine. Probably many of your listeners are familiar with Forbes. We partner with entrepreneurs and CEOs and business leaders, and we help them tell their story by writing and publishing a book, and then using that book as a tool to build their authority and to build their expertise in their industry, in their community, or in their marketplace.
Now, if you launched the company back in 2005, obviously you saw the global financial crisis in 2008, the recovery, various presidents in the United States coming on board and around the world as well. But then we had 2020. If you could sum up what you learned from 2020, could you share that with us?
Well, the first thing that I will say is that COVID-19 in the year 2020 was far worse than any downturn that I've ever been a part of as an entrepreneur or a business owner, certainly far worse than the 2008-2009 recession, certainly far worse than the internet bubble and the recession in 2000 and 2001. So business owners that are dealing with the effects of COVID-19 are dealing with something that probably not since the Great Depression has it been this challenging of an environment for most people. And the greatest thing I can tell you is that for me, the lesson that I've learned, that my company has learned, and that our team has learned is if you can make it through this, I really believe that you can make it through anything. And certainly our team and our company, we were able to make it through 2020. We've learned so many valuable lessons, but if anything, we've learned that by believing in ourselves and by working together as a team, you can get through some really tough times.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, governments are trying to support many small businesses to get through these tough times. We keep talking on this show about stimulus packages. You know, the Malaysians have just announced a new one to deal with another lockdown, you know, and we talk about the $1.9 trillion stimulus package proposal from President-elect Joe Biden, these sorts of things. Do these go some way to helping many of these small businesses, or is it just helping them maintain themselves rather than pick themselves up off the bottom?
Well, I can tell you, speaking frankly, we were a recipient of the stimulus programs in the United States, and they very much helped us because in quarter two of 2020 when COVID really hit the United States very hard. In that quarter alone, our business, our sales dropped in that quarter by almost 35%. And, you know, we have margins like any business, but not margins so good that if it was not for some form of stimulus or support, that we would not have had to furlough our team. And because of that support and because of really innovatively working to try to contain some of the effects of the pandemic, we were able to not only maintain every job, but not a single person was furloughed and not a single person took a salary cut as a result of it. So I do believe that the stimulus, both in the United States and in other places of the world, it's helping a lot of businesses that without it would be in very bad shape, and many more jobs would have been lost.
Adam, we're talking about getting businesses back on track, and I've got a couple of issues that I want to talk about here. We've seen remote working sort of take off last year. Everyone was hopeful this year we would see a change. Not really. That's not going to happen. So if you're a business that is kind of still struggling, is this an area that you can really look at, this whole remote working, perhaps permanently do away with ever coming back to the office? Should this be an option to consider?
Yeah, so remote work is very much here to stay, in my view. This was a trend globally, and COVID dramatically accelerated the trend of remote work. Here's what I can tell you. We have about 85 people in our company. About 20 of them were already working remote before the pandemic. About 65 of them were coming into the office 4 days a week out of the five. And I can tell you that people love working at home. They love the freedom, the flexibility, the autonomy. In most cases, people are working as hard, in some cases harder. We have had very few productivity or production-related problems. And after being in a work-at-home environment for now, what is 10 months, getting people excited about coming back into an office is not an easy thing for most employers. My advice and the advice that we're following is to listen to your team, embrace it, and find a way to make it work for both the team member, the employee, and for the company. And so we believe that when it is deemed safe for people to come back to our office, we'll continue to maintain a office, probably a smaller office than we had before the pandemic. And maybe instead of coming into the office 4 days a week, we might have people come into the office 1 day a week. Right. And during that 1 day a week that you're in the office, that's when we'll have meetings and collaborative sessions and training and, you know, professional development, where in person is so valuable and important.
Yeah, this is really fascinating, this area, actually, because one of the debates had always been about more flexible working, about whether or not it would affect your productivity. I'm curious to know what your expectations are of productivity in the coming year as more and more companies adapt to this sort of a hybrid model. But also, we suffer from this, particularly being in Singapore. If you're working here in Singapore and you interact with US and European teams, you find that people just blast through your boundaries on the time of day that you're doing calls. At home, we're stuck in the middle. So how do you encourage companies to, or your company, to make sure that you respect those boundaries of working practice?
You know, it's such a great question, because work at home creates so many opportunities, but it also creates so many new challenges that we've not had to face. And creating a space between working and personal life when all of that is happening in the same location is a lot more difficult than it was before. So for us as an employer, we have to be respectful of people's personal space, and we really try to limit, you know, business hours from, you know, 7:30 or 8 a.m. to probably about 5:30, 6 or 6:30 p.m. in the United States. The other thing that I will tell you is that we're really paying a lot of attention and investing in mental health resources. Because certainly as people spend more time at home, it does create for some people isolation and loneliness that can have long-term mental health effects if it's not properly addressed and taken care of. So while there are so many opportunities and there are real cost savings for both employees and for employers, there are also some real challenges that have to be addressed. one of which is when you hire a new person to your company, you know, before you could train them in person, you could indoctrinate them, they could go out to lunch with their colleagues, but when you hire a new person for your company and they're working remote full time, all of that education and culture transformation and building bonds and rapport with colleagues, it got a whole lot harder. And that's something that's going to take a lot of work.
Adam, it's very easy. I mean, when we're talking about getting your business back on track, it's very easy to look at your competitors, see what they're doing, and maybe if you mirror them, you can survive. But when it comes to getting your business back on track, is it all about balancing the books? For example, downsizing an office, I save money on rent. Is it really all about, you know, profit and loss here?
Well, you know, getting through this pandemic, certainly to some degree, it is about money, right? I mean, I always like to say that cash is oxygen for a business. And if the business runs out of cash, it's essentially run out of oxygen, and it has to downsize or in some cases go out of business. So I think for the immediate, it's very easy to look at getting through this pandemic as very much a dollars and cents maneuver. But on the bigger side of this, getting through this pandemic is really about transformation. Mm. And it's about adaptation. Because here's what I know. Even once the vaccine is distributed, even once COVID is not a nightly headline on the news, the world has permanently changed in many ways. Consumer behavior has changed in many ways. And any business that thinks they're going to just go back and do things the exact same way they did before the pandemic, I think will be in for a rude awakening. You've got to adapt to the new normal that we are now living in that I don't think is going to go back.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And on that note, you know, I'm sure that people come to you and they ask you, they look for mentoring advice about what they should do with their businesses and how they should plan for such uncertain times and unknowns. What do you tell them?
Yeah, so I tell them a couple of things. First, you need to put 2020 behind you. We are in a new year. It's 2021. All of the challenges, all of the tribulation, all of the negativity that was surrounded by 2020, say goodbye to that. We need to focus on what's ahead, not what's behind us. So that's the first thing. We have a new year with an entirely new set of opportunities. The second thing that I tell entrepreneurs is you've got to be very nimble and very flexible. Do not get set in any one thing. The news, of course, what's happening with COVID, what's happening with, you know, the U.S. with the new president in the United States, and the implications that will have globally, there's going to continue to be a lot of change. There's going to continue to be a lot of uncertainty in 2021. And so what that means is businesses have to be very flexible. And so that means that from financials, you know, I tell entrepreneurs you need to have three different financial plans and business plans for 2021. You have to have your target, you have to have your worst case, and then you have to have your really, really, really worst case. I don't think we're going to get to that really, really worst case, but I've always believed that if you plan for the worst case and you don't get there, then it's all upside and it's all opportunity. So be flexible, have a couple of different plans, put 2020 behind you, and really look for the opportunities that are ahead in this new year.
That's very well put. Thank you so much for taking the time. We've been speaking with Adam Witty, founder and CEO, Advantage Forbes Books. Adam, thanks. Take care and stay safe.
Great pleasure being with you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.